Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. Wherever you are in the world, I hope it's a good and safe place to be because today's podcast is filled with info that you need to be pleased. Info that you need to be with knowledge. So let me introduce myself. My name is William Means. I'm from East St. Louis, Illinois. I'm currently 19 years old and I attend the illustrious Hampton University. I major in political science on the pre-law track with a minor in psychology. I aspire to be a lawyer. Specifically, a corporate lawyer. So, I'm new to the East Coast. I mean, I've been there maybe once, twice, three times, but never to Virginia, let alone Hampton. I ended up in Hampton by listening to my elders when they informed me that those 4 years are precious and experiences can be unforgettable, and the friendships are truly lifelong. So, what better place to be than with people who look just like me? If these years are one of the most precious years, then I know exactly where to go, where excellence is prominent. So, before I went to college in Virginia, I visited many other cities around the country. New York City, Atlanta, Los Angeles, Miami, Las Vegas, and New Orleans. So you could say that I'm no stranger to traveling. But out of all of those extravagant cities, none of them compare to Hampton. I can honestly say that Hampton is truly in its own category. But enough about me. Let's just dive right in. For today's topic, we're going to be talking about evictions. We know them. We hate them. Matter of fact, I should say we loathe them. And there should be a better way to handle these kinds of things. The Webster Dictionary for the word eviction is, I quote, the disposition of a tenant of leased property by force or especially by legal process, end quote. Then the website goes into more detail with naming three types of eviction: actual eviction, constructive eviction, and relatory eviction. But I'm going to spare you that information. I don't want to sound like a monotone definition reading boring guy. But no, seriously, the impact of evictions have on individuals, neighborhoods, and cities are very critical. I mean, let's think about it. Let's just say you live in a neighborhood and you find out that your next door neighbor gets evicted. You're at a loss for words. You wish you could have helped some way, somehow. And God forbid if you had a child who was friends with that parent's child or children. I mean, so much goes into this dark process, and all it does is stir up tension and the impact. It leaves you in a dark place with so much despair in your heart. But instead of being the bystander, let's flip the script and you're the main character in the story. Let's say you're the person who gets evicted, or you know that your eviction day is coming up. You're living from check to check. You're a single parent. The bosses are not giving you any extra time. Money isn't flowing how it should be. The check is starting to get thin as weeks go by and you don't know what to do. So there are some tough decisions that you have to make. For example, let's say your child wanted some cookies from the store. You know, like the special kind of cookies, like Chip Ahoy cookies, the little soft chunky cookies with the chocolate chips in them, or like the little sprinkle kind of cookies, the pastry cookies. But money is tight, so you have to build up the courage and tell your child, we can't get that right now, or we don't have enough money for that right now. Something like that is a constant battle between happiness between you and your child, someone who you love most, and what you have to do to make sure that they have a home, a place where they can lay their head, a roof over their head. The child may not be happy now, but hopefully later on in life, they understand what you did was for the best for them. You know, topics like these really touch my heart and make you think about how grateful you should be with what you have and not dread on what you want. Because as I think back to when I was a child, I can remember my mother and father worked countless hours throughout the week, and I would usually stay over at my grandmother's house for most of the time. And at that time, me and my cousin went to the same school not too far away from my grandmother's house. And so at the end of the day, we would either walk to my grandmother's house, which was nothing more than probably 5 blocks or so, maybe half a mile, or my grandmother would surprise us and pick us up. I never forget a classmate that I had. Me and her were cool. I mean, we were cooler than a fan, cooler than an icebox. I can honestly say that I would never forget when she had to move. Now, as a child, I thought she was genuinely moving, but it wasn't until I saw the landlord stop by at her house and more often the ones leave notes of words that I couldn't read or even pronounce, like eviction. Notice of eviction. I thought, wow, he must have a crush on his mother if he's leaving notes at the door and everything. But little did I know, she was getting kicked out. But as I think about what happened, I wish I could have done something. I wish I could have said something to my parents. I wish I could have made more of an impact so I could see my friend. I wish that I was more than just a bystander. I was more than just someone who watched, make little jokes and everything, because I didn't know. Even though I didn't know, that's no excuse. I mean, even at a young age, kids are becoming educated. Kids are evolving. They're learning more and more and more as the day goes by. And so when I truly think about what happened, I'm really at a loss for words, because to think that my friend left, it was sad. It was a sad process. It wasn't until I was older that I actually knew what happened. And no one wants to wonder when or where they're going to lay their head at night. Each day is a battle, a quest, a mission. It's crazy. I just wish she could have stayed, because even today, our friendship wasn't the same when she left. Oh my goodness. I drifted off. Let's get back to the topic again. Let's get back to the topic. I drifted off. Sorry, guys. Evictions currently in the city of St. Louis have been hundreds, near thousands. You know, according to an official website, evictions of the equity score is 39 on a scale of, 3.9 on a scale of 1 to 10. And the disparity ratio is 2.2. There have been 3,138 evictions in the city, and almost 2,000, majority are black, 1,922 to be exact, and only 618 are white, majority white. So you can see the disposition and, the differences with black and white. Now, given that I believe that St. Louis is either a highly populated area with the African-American community, or there are more African-Americans living in that impoverished area and not able to make ends meet, so therefore they will get evicted. I mean, there's a lot of science and psychology that goes on through that. And it's a frustrating and depressing study, but at the same time, it's a study that has to be done to learn what can we do to be better, to make better change, especially in cities like St. Louis. So Matt Damien, he writes a book called Evicted, and he does a study where he goes to one of the poorest areas in Milwaukee, and he studies about 8 to 10 families at home, and what he really does is follow them, see how they make ends meet, and see how they really deal with this financial issue that happened in 2008, I believe. Now, the book called Evicted, it's a book that, it's a very depressing book, because to think that people really got kicked out of their homes because they couldn't make ends meet, even though working class people, even though they were people who did what they were supposed to do, they went to work, they did many other things, they still were not able to provide for their families. They were still not able to keep a home. And there have been many protests and everything saying that evictions really lead to death. Evictions equal death. And in today's time, to a certain degree, that is true. The reason why I say it's true is because, well, now COVID is around. With COVID being around, it is very hard to be out in the world without having a home, a stable home, let alone a home at all, and trying to dodge coronavirus. And God forbid if you have a child with you. Now, that child is in danger. You're in danger. And you're trying to provide for that child. Soon that child will be taken away from you. So home changes so much. But there was a quote that Desmond said inside the book, and I want to read it, and I want to respond to it. He says, I quote, "We have a firm provision in old age, 12 years of education and the basic nutrition to be right of every citizen, because we have recognized that human dignity depends on the fulfillment of these fundamental human needs. And it is hard to argue that housing is not a fundamental need, a fundamental human need, excuse me. Decent, affordable housing should be a basic right for everybody in this country. The reason is simple. Without stable shelter, everything falls apart." And that's, end quote. And that's exactly what I was saying before I read the quote, when people are saying, people are advocating, people are protesting, saying that evictions equal death. He took my words. Well, I guess you could say I took his words, because he wrote this book before I even said that. And he puts it in a profound way. I repeat it. Decent, affordable housing should be a basic right for everybody in this country. The reason is simple. Without a stable shelter, everything falls apart. And he couldn't be more right. His concluding premise is so true that anyone who would disagree has never seen, experienced, heard, been through, or just doesn't care about the impact that evictions have on neighborhoods and cities and people alone. This, I believe, is a practice for states to guarantee housing for all. I feel as though each state, head of state, I believe, the head of the state, I believe each state has their own circumstance, and I believe that something like this, where having affordable housing is a basic right, should be responsible for the state. I also feel that universities and college play an important role with the issue of housing and home security. The important role that they play basically is, we all know that in universities and college, they provide dorms, they provide housing, they provide apartments and stuff. I feel as though the cost to stay at them, dorms and such, should be lower. So therefore, when said student graduates or leaves for a certain purpose from that university and college, they would at least have some money in their pocket, or they would at least have, theoretically, less money if they pay less for the dormitories and the apartments to go out and buy a more stable home and further their future and be further away from evictions, you know? And so it's really a troubling topic. It really is a troubling topic. And it's something that you really can't just shake off. So evictions are truly the worst. I truly believe that evictions increase poverty and crime rate, simply because a person gets evicted and their thoughts are usually, how am I going to survive? I believe that they have that mindset of saying that I have to do what I have to do to make it to another day, whether that leads to a crime, whether that leads to being ambitious and finding more jobs. Either way, they're going to be influenced. They're going to be easily convinced that, hey, if you go rob the store real quick, you can make some quick, you could make quick cash, you know? And that saying alone implies so much, but yet achieves so little in the long run. Because it achieves so little in the long run, people have to understand that evictions not only impact the people, but the neighborhoods and also the cities. Because think of it like this. If more people are evicted without homes, without a stable job, without a place to put their residency, then I truly believe that I increase poverty. And when poverty increases, peace, stability, reassurance, all of that goes down. Because if so that those places are impoverished, there's nothing that we really can do. I mean, I understand that, you know, people don't make payments and so, but I feel like the tenant should try to work with the person rather than just kick them out. No answers, no questions, no comments, nothing. I don't believe that things should work that way. I feel that with everything, there's reason. There's an explanation. You owe the person at least that much to explain why. Now, if they have no answer, I'm not happy with it, but morally it is correct. But you have to work with the person somehow, some way. I feel like tenants should try to work with the person. But evictions are truly the methods of evil, methods of dark. It stir up nothing but tension, as I said earlier. But thank you so much. My name is William Means. I hope you enjoyed my podcast today. And I hope you're staying safe and I hope you're staying clear. I hope you hopefully are in a stable place, a safe place. It's been smooth like silk and good like milk. All right. See you guys later. Bye.